It is a great pleasure to welcome to Wide Moat Investing Summit 2022, Eric DeLaMarter, Managing Member of Half Moon Capital. Eric is a portfolio manager of the firm, which is a research-intensive, deep value-oriented long-short partnership that invests across various sectors and markets with a focus on small mid-cap companies and special situations. Prior to founding Half Moon Capital, Eric was at Stellium Investment Management, a value-oriented hedge fund in New York. He was an associate at Lineage Capital, a middle-market private equity fund, and an investment banking analyst at RBC Capital Markets. Eric holds an MBA from the Heilbronn Center for Graham and Dodd Investing at Columbia Business School, with a concentration in applied value investing, and a BA from the University of Michigan. Eric, I, as well as others in the MY Global community, always enjoy and benefit from your presentations here at our platform, and I'm grateful to you that you are with us again this year. I'd like to turn it to you now. Please go ahead.
Great. Well, thank you, John. I appreciate the opportunity here. As you mentioned, that we're about to enter our 12th year. Most of the situations we look at on the long side are more transitioning businesses, somewhat special situations where there's some sort of dynamics that are in play or shift underway that are going to lead to perhaps a change in the business, improvement, and thus some sort of reappraisal, reevaluation of it. And I'd say the company we're going to present today fits squarely in that category. It looks like we're now in our eighth year, so thank you presenting here. Thank you for that. Here are the past names we presented, and on the right, the subsequent outcomes. The company I'm presenting here today is The Container Store, ticker TCS. This is about a $350 million market cap company. I think probably a lot of people are familiar with it as a retailer. It's a specialty retailer of organization solutions and increasingly custom closets. This is a category, as we'll see to demonstrate, is less economically sensitive than many perceive. This came on our radar following the new CEO that came on board last year. It's very high caliber and is doing a lot of great things that are kind of just beginning to materialize in the business. There is an opportunity, a fairly significant one, for growth in terms of units, and I think a pretty clear sight line to at least doubling revenue over the next several years. Very strong balance sheet, and at its current valuation, we believe a very attractive risk-reward, presenting at least 200%, perhaps percent upside. In our base case, we're assuming at least 100% with a number of catalysts and, of course, to that reappraisal that we'll address. So the business itself has 94 locations, retail boxes across 33 states. The typical customer is an affluent 35-plus-year-old female in the suburbs. These are folks who are inherently a bit less economically sensitive and have a higher amount of discretionary income. They have a very large, I'd say, particularly for its size, loyalty program with 11 million members. And a bit of an 80-20 rule, 75% of sales are to 25% of its customers, which I think speaks to the stickiness and high repeat rate of its existing customers. It has a very high NPS score at about 77, and its SKU set is very broad across its categories in which it operates, in with almost 11,000 SKUs, the majority of which, I think it's worth emphasizing, are exclusive to TCS. These are not products you can get online or at other competitors. Over the last 2 to 3 years, about half the business has grown to be majority actually custom closets. I think most people assume or believe it to be, you know, the organizational systems, plastic and such organizers. But now custom closets make up the bulk of the revenue. So custom closets themselves came to them through an acquisition in 2013 of a company called Elpha. They are vertically integrated there, produce their own closets, and have a dominant U.S. share in that category. That's kind of the middle and lower end of the organizers for closets. That's a do-it-yourself home install system that they sell in their stores. Through that platform, through that Elpha infrastructure, launched in 2019, actually shortly before the pandemic, Avera, which it seeks to address the kind of mid-tier and higher end of the closet organizational system market. These are wooden closets that are installed by professionals. And that's really only started to kind of get going. And I think there's a huge opportunity there. It's a large and kind of emerging part of home improvement and home renovation. On the higher end, they have a product called Laren that was externally manufactured, but earlier this year through an acquisition of Closet Works. This is a Chicago-based wood integrated closet manufacturer. Are going to be bringing that in-house and using that platform to expand into the higher end as well. The drivers of this that I think are perhaps not fully understood is remodel activity. Remodeling activity is less economically sensitive, not contingent or dependent on new home construction and the like. So I think presents itself to be a lower risk, kind of more steady and stable business than perhaps other areas of the consumer discretionary home decor segment. The kind of legacy and rest of the business is general merchandise that I think most folks know, these organizers solutions for your home. There are at their store, which is different than any of their peers, or at least any of their larger peers, have folks who can provide in-home consultation services, come to your home, you want to organize, say, your pantry, a couple of your rooms, and then build from there. And again, you know, these are mainly products and increasingly so that you can only get it at the Container Store. As we'll discuss, there's been a shift away from some of the legacy stuff, legacy products that say you go in the store, say, oh, I can find this on Amazon and do so, but that's not really the case anymore. And a lot of these products are also ones you want to come in the store, see the color, touch it, feel it, see that it integrates with your home. And you can find multiple types of organizers that will match and feel and provide you that support, as opposed to like going online, finding just a plastic cases or something or the like. The growth opportunities here are numerous, garage and additional rooms in the house being the most near-term one. The influencer backing kind of spurred a bit of the growth in home improvement. And the benefits of it are, I think, just beginning to be realized. They're capturing share, and I think will continue to do so from folks like Bed Bath & Beyond, who are retrenching and closing stores and kind of readjusting and trying to find their footing. As I mentioned, the macro trends supportive of continued growth, perhaps acceleration even, is the fact that folks are obviously spending more time at home and record levels of home equity, that wealth effect, having more income or perceived wealth that they can spend on their own, willing to invest in their home, is a tailwind I think will continue to benefit them. If you look at renovation and remodel indices, and having spoken to a lot of pros, a lot of these folks are booked out, you know, up until 2023. So there's a huge backlog and pent up demand for these products and for these services. It's only really kind of beginning to get realized. As you can see here in the LIRA index, you know, out through the kind of early part of next year, you're seeing an acceleration in ongoing growth. This kind of is a reference, kind of came on our radar. We were familiar with it, looked at it in the past, but with the new CEO coming on board, the legacy team was essentially first the founder who had the vision for the business, but lacked, you know, the skill set to grow it and scale it and add new stores. There's a number of challenges they faced with that. New stores were delayed in opening, were slow in ramping and reaching sales profitability. And so then in transition 2017, a new CEO came on board, one of that who was a lieutenant and legacy internal manager, but that person, I'd say, lacked not only the vision, but also the operational know-how to execute a growth plan, but also to capitalize on merchandising, thus leaving a great deal of untapped potential. Early February 2021, however, Satish Malhotra came on board, I think has perhaps the ideal resume and skill set precisely to, you know, capitalize on a lot of the opportunities that Container Store has. He was the COO and Chief Retail Officer Sephora. He was instrumental in growing that business to what it essentially is today. That came through inventory management systems where store managers knew exactly what where product was. It was accessible, education of sales reps on the floor so that a customer comes in, they could provide them those insights, sell them the products they needed, and really drove that. Another item and area that he was orchestrating was the store in store concept. That is essentially a, you think of like a larger kiosk within another retail store. He did that through Kohl's and TJ and JCP. That was highly successful. These can be grown rather rapidly in another area and kind of that we have, I think there's potential for, and we'll discuss it at the Container Store as well. He's bolstered his management team. It was kind of historically pretty stale, adding a CIO who's by all accounts very effective at a head of real estate, which I think is a clear signal of their growth intentions. They've begun to scope out growth opportunities, and also a head of custom closets, just showing that dedication. It was kind of an opportunity that was never fully capitalized on, and that's already beginning to bear fruit, as well as other strong personnel that support his staff. His conviction in the business, I think, was demonstrated the fact that he not only has bought several hundred thousand dollars in stock in levels materially higher than this, but also, in fact, just last week, made a $100,000 open market purchase. Some of the improvements I touched upon, but to get some more detail, include refining the promotions and sales, more transparency, clarity to the customers, less discounting. He's also culled a lot of the commoditized products, I think some associated with the business being like plastic, organizing systems, those that weren't integrated, undifferentiated products. The sales system itself and just the philosophy of the business changing pretty rapid order. I think that's already starting to translate to sales and increased stickiness. The custom closets, I think, is what really excited him, and we'll get into some more detail about that. But that is just kind of in its early stages across a number of its categories. They've overhauled their website, as you can see, kind of done a refresh, rebrand, and launched an app. Some of these things, which seem like basic things, but have only recently been introduced and kind of monetized by the company. I think the hosts, having people to direct you to where you want to be, having zone specialists in certain product categories are a clear differentiator. You go into, say, a Target, you're kind of on your own trying to find your products at. And this has also lent itself to some of the new in-home advisory services. Someone comes to your home, say, provides you some service or insight on how to organize your kitchen, let's say, and then there's that you then can cross-sell an opportunity to expand, get further, other areas of your home, a bigger share of the wallet. Their loyalty program, I think, is huge. He's tiered that and started to really harvest some of those higher repeat customers and also drive some of those other 11 million that are in that group to become that in that profile of the kind of big spenders, recurring buyers. Launched a ship from store and BOPUS program. That was something they did also when he was at Sephora, and that's really starting, I think, to make a supply chain improvement overhaul. In an area that I think is just kind of its early innings as well, is the fact that you come in the store, so you buy some organizational systems for your pantry, then you can say, oh, we can cross sell you and say, have you looked into the closets? That is something the incentives have been put in place, the sales personnel have now been put in place to really try and monetize and push that. The business itself kind of stagnated, the challenge in opening locations. And just recently, Satish provided a kind of a general framework for where he thinks the business can grow to in terms of units. And he announced, he thought, 76 new locations over the next 5 years. We think that will really accelerate next year. And these are smaller footprint locations, can be open more efficiently, more rapidly. And he's going to be deploying those in suburban areas where the kind of the key customers exist, where people know about the store and know about the business, as opposed to urban areas where it really didn't make sense. And that was something that was kind of a misstep by the prior team. And they'll further be emphasizing the custom closets. This is a higher margin product. particularly in the higher end, that I think we'll see maybe a mix shift to drive increased margins across the whole business. Based upon a pretty extensive amount of primary research we've done in market sizing, we believe that, you know, they could have 200 to 250 potential new stores in this size and in this format nationally, and as a tailwind to growth. The store-on-store concept is one that he hasn't announced formally anything on, but it's kind of his strength. I think we'll probably have something formally out there soon. These are smaller footprint within a store, as mentioned, in a logical, you know, potential partner could be Home Depot or Lowe's. These are open quickly. It's a great kind of centerpiece or way to profile the brands. And it's a fairly low risk in terms of capital deployment with a, you know, an attractive revenue share typically. That is something that stores often like to have because it's just another reason to drive foot traffic into their larger box. Just some qualitative perspectives from, you know, some of the handful of calls we did specifically relating to the company, but also the CEO here. You know, I think it's a very well-regarded brand, have a very loyal customer base, and it's just a matter of really kind of harnessing those, capitalizing on those, and he's starting to do that, and I think that is what will really drive the performance of it. Even one of their competitors noted how formidable and how high quality their product is, their vertical integration alike, really differentiating them, setting up for strength. Here's the historical financials. You can see across the top line, the unit growth really stagnated, fell, and has essentially been almost zero unit openings in the last 2-3 years, 3-4 years, in fact, because of that prior management missteps and their challenges alike. Very high gross margins, as you'll notice. I think that speaks to the quality of these products, their pricing power, and the like. These aren't, you know, commodity product margins that maybe some perceive of the business. But over the history, under the prior team, they really lacked the ability to scale or leverage the SG&A base, hence somewhat middling returns. You can see already in 2021, following just the last 4 quarters of Satish's presence, you started to see that really lift and drive some of the profitability that I think is just only beginning to bear out in the numbers. From a valuation standpoint, you know, stock is trading at 3x EBITDA, you know, 4x earnings. I think that's a multiple one would ascribe to a secular declining business in real challenge. You know, maybe a Bed Bath & Beyond or some company or business that really has perhaps no place in the marketplace. I think that's a result of the legacy missteps, the perception of the commodities products, but that will, I think, abate as they continue to outperform. You know, my assumption is they'll grow revenue at kind of modest levels with limited incremental operating improvements, even in that scenario. And yet the acceleration earnings in unit growth, though, will, I think, really bear that this is an attractive has an attractive growth profile. And as they lay that out later in year, I think will really begin to become evident, you know, and result in a re-rating among other factors. And so if you ascribe 6-8x, I think, unaggressive multiple to it, you're looking at about $26 a share, kind of mid-20s, similar if you ascribe, you know, 9, 10, 12% times earnings, you're looking at like a triple almost in the stock. And how do we get there? You know, there's a bunch of catalysts, some of which I've referenced. Outperformance, given low expectations, consumer spending, I think the tailwinds there that referenced will be a driver of that and will support that ongoing growth. And then again, this custom closet part of the business that is, I think over time will become probably 75% of sales, is a higher revenue, more stable, longer term growth rates that have, you know, that you can get visibility on, and just a better a better business should be ascribed a much higher multiple. You know, Satish has outlined in kind of general terms just recently in May what his kind of framework is for growth in terms of units, but hasn't provided any granularity. But I think we'll get that in the back half of the year, perhaps in conjunction with Investor Day. There's a lot of good things to talk about that could be laid out and articulated then that the marketplace is not aware of. You know, the sell side is fairly cursory on the name, has kind of a legacy, you know, perception, and maybe we're burned perhaps by the prior management team, over-promising and under-delivering. But that is now shifting. I think institutional following will follow that as well. In conjunction with that, and, you know, at the end of the day, I think there's a bit of a put under the stock. This is a, you know, a very attractive business with a lot of growth opportunity that would be very attractive to a financial buyer. You've seen that in At Home and others, where these types of business can trade for 10, 12 times EBITDA. And that is, I think, something that could be potentially there as well, particularly these price levels. Of course, risk to the business, highly correlated reference to R&R, to home improvement. You know, again, there's a lot of support for that, as we've illustrated. You know, potential deterioration in consumer spending. Yes, that's, you know, things like inflation related to gas and like are hampering and hurting lower end consumers. But the reality is the customers that are at Container Store are more affluent, less susceptible to that. These aren't people that receive stimulus checks or had one-time benefits. These are people who have a, you know, a large amount of equity in their home. They own their home and are, you know, spending increasingly on those homes, on their home. You know, competitive landscape, you know, there is competition, no doubt. But the mitigants that he's directly putting in place to address that are, you know, making sure that they're not selling commoditized products. There's an increasing level of service added to it, value, know-how being imparted by the sales reps, products that you can't get elsewhere, products that you want to come and see in person, come and see in the store, and also can't get anywhere else, frankly. And that's, I think, what sets it up to be able to sustain itself and perhaps even continue to grow market share independent of the marketplace around it. You know, a couple exhibits here, happy to walk through this, but you can see it's a fairly general and high level growth plan that he's provided. There's a lot more to it that I think yet to come, and a lot more information that will be provided, I think, that will lead to this revaluation and upside to the stock, particularly at these, you know, depressed levels. And, you know, with that, I'm happy to, John, open up to questions and address any matters that folks would like to discuss.
Great. Thank you so much, Eric, for another compelling thesis here. I'm wondering if someone would like to track this idea over time, what would be the key data points to keep an eye on going forward to gauge how the thesis is playing out?
I think you'd want to look to margin, you know, how the margins are faring. They actually delineate performance and revenue of the general merchandising versus the custom closets. You can track that, and in fact, track the margins of those. And I think most particularly the unit growth course. You know, are they openings planned? You know, they have two announced for later this year, two store openings, and I think those public announcements that are, I think, yet to come will be a kind of a key data point, and, you know, part of the roadmap to value reappraisal that one should look to as they are tracking this business.
Great, that's helpful. Also, in terms of kind of the competitive landscape here, could you just shed a little bit more color on any significant competitors or comparables that we should be thinking about?
So at the kind of retail brick and mortar level, there are several. There's most significantly Target. Target has a fairly decent sized home organization section. They have expanded over the last couple of years. I think speaking to, you know, the quality of this segment and the growth profile of it, you know, has attracted their increased competition. But you go into a Target, you're kind of on your own trying to find these home organization systems, what, you know, is the appropriate fit for your home for those particular different spaces. And you're also limited by SKU. The, you know, Container Store has over 11,000 SKUs. You know, while Target is big, they only have about 500 to 1,000. And then big places like Bed Bath & Beyond, you know, they've, you know, really struggled to find an identity. And again, it's kind of a cavernous store, limited sales personnel assistance. And then online, of course, you know, that you go in and you can find different home organization systems, obviously on Amazon and the like. But you know, the Container Store is very mindful of that, and as such has products you can't get on online, or of styles and integration profiles that you can't really configure and understand unless you actually see it in person. You know, you say you have a number of shelves and you want it to be the right size and fit with another set of shelves that are in the same room, so they match, have the same color and structure. You know, coming into the store is almost required for that. That's not something you can do. Maybe you can order a bunch of stuff online, have to send most back because it doesn't fit that. But that integration and level of kind of customization is what enables Container Store to compete against the online and mitigate those entrants and, you know, forestall any of that competitive challenge.
You talked about the risks here. I'm just wondering if you could elaborate on what you would consider the kind of biggest concern or risk longer term here, let's say looking out, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a consumer discretionary product. So if there's a significant recession, even the wealthy will certainly feel that. If home prices decline, I don't think that's going to happen, given the shortage of supply and the like. You know, you could feel that wealth effect, people maybe less or more reluctant to invest or spend on their home. That could be a challenge. And then again, execution, right? So opening stores is going to, you know, he has effectively done that at his prior role, and he's been very deliberate in structuring this. He didn't rush out and open a bunch of stores. You're testing styles, sizes, formats. You know, that will be that, you know, that is a risk. It's yet to be determined. I'm very confident in his ability to do that based upon what he's done in the past, based upon conversations I've had with industry experts and with him and his team and themselves. So, you know, execution, you know, that's always a risk.
Okay, great. Well, I'll leave it there, Eric. I just encourage our members to feel free to follow up with any of their own thoughts or questions. Thank you again so much for taking the time to be with us this year and present this very interesting thesis to our community.
My pleasure, John. Thanks again for the opportunity. Yeah, happy to address any questions offline that folks may have.
Terrific. Thank you so much. Goodbye for now.
Bye.